Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Infibeam Avenues Limited, hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Rutuja. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited earnings call to discuss the Q2 FY23 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Vishal Mehta, Managing Director, Mr. Vishwas Patel, Executive Director, and Mr. Purvesh Parekh, Head Investor Relations. Also joining us on the call today is Mr. B. Ravi. Mr. Ravi was the CFO of Adani Ports for over 9 years and has a wide experience in corporate strategy and finance. He's also advising Infibeam on similar fronts of corporate strategy and finance as an independent consultant. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I now request Mr. Vishal Mehta to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rajat, and good afternoon to everyone. Thank you all for taking time to attend our earnings call today. I hope you've had seen our earnings document, which has been uploaded on the exchanges as well as the company website. To start with, in the last few years, your company has made investments in building an incredibly strong payment infrastructure, which focuses both on merchants as well as banks. And we've evolved to offer a very inclusive and scalable solution, which simplifies business operations and transaction processing for merchants, governments, enterprises, as well as banks. The strength and scalability of our business model can be seen from our performance and strong profitability, and we are very excited to talk about the performance of this quarter as well as ongoing forward. This quarter, we've delivered a superior operating and financial performance across the board, and I'll discuss that in detail. Firstly, let me focus on a few strategic developments. The company has received in-principle approvals from RBI to operate as a payment aggregator. We now have two licenses from RBI, one for operating as a payment aggregator, and the other one is for bill payments under the Bharat Bill Pay infrastructure. RBI has issued a framework under which payment aggregators are mandated to obtain a license for acquiring merchants and providing them with the digital payment acceptance solutions to ensure safety of customers as well as for merchants. This development will give us a substantial boost to expand our reach of payment processing in online segment as well as in particularly offline segment. We've also applied for one more license, which is under the new umbrella entity license through our subsidiary in consortium with some of the reputed and experienced enterprises that will allow us to be at the center of all payment flows. Continuing on with our omni-channel strategy, after launching CC Avenue omni-channel mobile app, which is featuring India's first pin-on-glass solution, and we named it CC Avenue TapPay, the company has also made some strategic investment by picking up a 50% stake in a Gurgaon-based software startup called Wishco22 Products and Services, which is backed by the erstwhile founders of Yepme.com. The company is going to focus on omni-channel enterprise software products along with payments, which will make it a B2B e-commerce inclusive framework. Since our company has launched CC Avenue TapPay in July of 2022, we have so far deployed CC Avenue TapPay across more than 15,000 terminals, and we plan to take it to 1 lakh by end of this financial year, FY23. And we are targeting to reach 1 million merchants by the end of FY24 on CC Avenue TapPay. I will now briefly talk about our financial and operating highlights for the quarter. We achieved the highest ever quarterly and half-yearly gross revenue as well as net revenue on both standalone and consolidated basis. This quarter, our gross revenue and net revenue grew 53% year-over-year and 25% year-over-year to 435 crores and 70 crores respectively. Our India payments and platform business on a consolidated levels also includes international payments, Go payments, and some of our other subsidiaries. Each of them have shown substantial growth. We are confident of maintaining this growth momentum for the future as well. On a standalone basis, our profit after tax was 47 crores, which includes DRC system stake sale impact. Consolidated profit after tax stood at 40 crores, and we are confident in achieving our guidance of 110 to 125 crores in profit after tax in FY23. Our transaction processing volume for this quarter crossed an all-time high of 1 lakh crore, including the non-MDR-based payment transaction processing volume. Both payments and GeM and the platform business were an all-time high. This was primarily on account of increased contribution from COVID-impacted sectors, which are travel, hospitality, entertainment, etc., and a rise in digital transactions. Strong tailwinds, customer adoption, and support from RBI and government will help India digital payments industry grow at 30% or more for the next 5 years. Our gross take rates in India payments business were close to 90 basis points, and net take rate came in at 7.2 basis points, which has been steadily improving since the last 4 to 5 quarters. You can refer to the slide 6, which will give you some indication on how our net take rates have been improving in the past few quarters. Higher contribution from credit cards, about 47% versus less than 40% year over year, has led to a higher gross take rate. As the sectors which we talked about, which is travel, hospitality, and entertainment grow, the credit card usage in these sectors is higher, and hence our gross take rate comes out to be higher. As you can see from our slide 6 of the presentation, both our India and payments net take rates have been continuously increasing. We are committed to take this to a double digit in the next few years through several business initiative offerings, one of them being offline expansion, where we have launched CC Avenue TapPay, our payment infrastructure services to bank, as well as our international expansion. We continue to build our merchant base as we continue to add more than 8,500 merchants on a daily basis. The number of merchants increased 77% to 7.3 million during Q2 23. This is on backbone of our business and forms the base of all our future cross-sell opportunities. We are confident of growing this merchant base to over 10 million in the next 2 years. Under our enterprise marketplace platform business, GeM continues to achieve record GMV quarter over quarter. In the first half, GeM GMV had crossed 75,000 crores, and we are hopeful that it will double by the end of this financial year. Additionally, our interest in Vishco 22 startup to develop omnichannel enterprise software products and services will also go a long way. This will allow us to scale our platform business. Our balance sheet continues to remain strong. We had a cash of 316 crore at the end of second quarter, up 50% in 6 months. Our capital expenses have reduced from 83 crores in 21 to 16 crores in the first half of this year. A lot of CapEx cycle is behind us, and we believe that the current business will continue to evaluate opportunities and look at additional CapEx and expansion. But we believe that whatever we have implemented so far, that CapEx cycle is behind us. We want to offer a very differentiated product offering in all of our other segments, and we want to grow our market share in payments by targeting offline merchants and generating higher cash flows and returns for our shareholders. Mind you, all the merchants that we talked about are online payment processors with us, and that entire base of merchants can potentially also use our offline solution. So we have a significant merchant base with us where we can tap into to open up the offline payment solutions through CC Avenue TapPay. Our strong performance in the first half of this year gives us confidence of delivering higher than our stated revenue and operating guidance, which is mentioned in slide 12. Our confidence in this business can also be seen where we have continued to look at investing in our own company through preferential allotment on a fully convertible basis. We have continued to evolve the business. The funds that we have, we will continue to look at it wisely in terms of where we can get the returns for our shareholders and do significant contributions and investments in those areas going forward. I think that is all for now. I'd like to pass it on to Vishwas for his comments. Vishwas, over to you.
Thanks, Vishal. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. This is an interesting time for our company, and we are extremely excited with the way our business is progressing. Payments has to take a center stage across all businesses, and it's a mission critical subject in every aspect of life. This is where we want to solve the challenges across the economy to ensure smooth flow of funds. I would like to start by talking about TapPay. I'm extremely happy with the way this product has ramped up. And just within 3 months of our launch, it's now present across 15,000 merchants who have started processing through the solution. The CC Avenue Omnichannel mobile app is useful for both small merchants and vendors and to large corporates. The Omnichannel app aims to address the challenges of inadequate payment acceptance infrastructure and eliminates barriers to seamless digital adoptions. We're already testing it with a few large enterprises, and we believe it will be immensely help these large enterprises to have a single view of sales and settlements and a single point of contact for all resolutions. We are confident that by end of this year, we'll activate almost 100,000 terminals and eventually reach out to millions of merchants globally. In our international markets, we are seeing increasing business in the UAE. By end of this financial year, we plan to start payment business in Saudi Arabia and Australia, followed by USA, and then proceed to multiple international destinations to offer digital payments and payment infrastructure services. We are targeting offline payments to contribute around 20-25% of our overall payments TPV by the end of financial year 2025. We'll be offering this solution to merchants and banks globally. The Indian payment license will also help us in gaining trust among the merchants and banks, and which we believe will help us to penetrate into the hinterlands, and it will also help us to expand in international markets as it will instill trust in our partners. We are also participating in a similar license requirement in the UAE and also Saudi Arabia. Hence, we, like India, UAE and Saudi Arabia will also be a regulated market. We are focused on building frictionless financial technology and digital payments, which will provide a seamless and holistic digital payment solution to merchants across, along with access to capital at the click of a button. Therefore, our comprehensive offerings, including platforms, payments, and finance, we want to make the merchants digital, credible, and hence bankable. Our principal focus has always been our merchants, and we shall continue to develop differentiated sets of solutions for our audience. Now with this, I'll open the floor for questions. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Gaurav Sharma from HSBC Securities and Capital Markets India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so sir, my first question is regarding to that you mentioned that your payment net take rate is constantly improving, both in India as well as the total payments. And you mentioned that 47% is contributed by the credit card usage. So what are the take rates on credit card usage? And also, What are the payment models for the balance 53 model, 53%, if you can mention? That is one. And sir, I also saw that the gap between the Indian payments and total payments is getting closer. So do you expect that Indian payment NTR will cross over or will match the total payments NTR? And if yes, then what will be the time frame would you like to give? These are my questions, sir.
So first question I understood, so I'll answer that first. I think the take rate is improving. You have seen this quarter. Right, across credit and debit, both across all options, 95% of the transactions you process are credit and debit, and only 4 or 5% accounts for a UPI. So that take rate, as we said, that as more our kind of options, that is a travel, hospitality, go online, the take rates are improving. So this quarter, we have seen the take rate improving to 7.2% from 4.8, which was year-on-year quarter. So that is increasing year-on-year. And as more merchants and as more as we go into the holiday season, we hope to keep bettering that take rate. The second part of the question, can you repeat it? Because I think we briefly lost your voice on the second question.
Yeah, sure, sir. So if you look at the slide number 6, as you mentioned that we can see that the Indian payments NTR and the gap between the total payment NTR is coming closer. It is the bridging the gap. So just wanted to know, do you see forward that Indian payments NTR crossing up the total payments NTR? And if yes, then what is the time frame? Also, a small question on OPEX side, since we say that the OPEX has sequentially increased significantly. So if you can just mention the factor, like one maybe the like technological expenses, and if you can also mention some other factors, it would be great.
Sure. So this is Vishal here. Basically, if you look at the first question, which is the net take rate, yeah, it has been improving. India has shown a lot of improvement. And the improvement is primarily because a lot of factors that were hit by COVID, they've started coming up. You know, as a result, I think we are also seeing some traction. Second is the expansion of our merchant base. As we expand into the merchant base and go into smaller merchants, our tech rates are also improving through that. So earlier I had mentioned that we are adding about 8,500 odd merchants every day. And as a result, when you go deeper into the ecosystem, I think it helps us. The third is the offline payment mode, which is expected to help us. And that's why we think that I mentioned that we will go into a two-digit take rate in India. The reason is because offline payments, the net take rates are better because the risk is lower because the card is present compared to card not present. And as a result, I think, this combination of factors will help us keep on improving the net take rates, we believe, in the coming quarters, which will help us get to a double digit, hopefully in the next 2 years, maybe earlier. And we're confident that we are going in the right direction there. As far as the second question, also in parallel, you had mentioned that the take rates international and overall and in India is also coming up. I think when we deploy such solutions internationally also, our take rate should also improve there. So we think that the solutions that we build out, while we will test them and scale them in India, we will also deploy them internationally. In international regions, and that will help us in terms of expanding our overall rates both in domestic as well as in international markets. So to answer your question, I don't think that there would be map to map, but we'll keep on with some minimal latency. We'll open up, for example, CC Avenue TapPay. We are opening it up in international regions in UAE as well, simultaneously as we are doing it in India. So we will keep on deploying in all the platform and the frameworks for payment infrastructure that we build out. We are doing it at a global level, not just at the India level. That's how they have been architected. To your second point, in terms of operating expense, we are continuously evolving. We will invest ahead of time in anticipation. And I think that we are careful in terms of how we want to plan and project and we monitor how we are performing at a regular basis. So I think it's just ahead of our business expansion. We want to continuously evolve our frameworks and build out a very strong ecosystem. And when we talk about ecosystem, it's platform, payments, and finance. and that ecosystem will enable our merchants to be able to perform better, have more stickiness, and you know, get into very deep product-based approach. So things like analytics, you know, which potentially allow merchants to do a lot more than what they are doing today. And merchants across sectors will be able to utilize those kinds of services, which will enable them to create more demand, generate more volume, and through that, we will also get an improvement in terms of what we are working on.
Okay, okay. Understood, sir. Thank you, and congratulations for a great set of numbers, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Narula from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so for taking my question. So I have just one question.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Narula. May we request you to speak a little louder?
Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for taking my question. So my question is, how many payment aggregator licenses are already given? And how many do you think RBI will give? For some media reports, close to 200 applications have gone to RBI. So even if RBI gives license to 50%, will the competitive intensity remain high and the industry can never expect to be profitable?
Yeah, I'll take that. Vishwas here. So from what we, the RBI has not officially put out the number of licenses given or the application received. But from our industry sources and what we hear from the press, 150 odd licenses were applied for, and there were many, many, many rejects. And what we know and what certain persons have got in principle approvals, the count last that we could get to have confirmed, because a very prestigious license, there is something around 8 to 10 parties only who have confirmed to have got the licenses. So out of the 150 odd who must have applied. So that is our sources, not to be this thing, but I think formal announcement by RBI will clear the things that is there. In any sense, what we are looking at here is that we are not aiming at a small market. We are aiming at a $2 trillion digital payments market. Today, only 27% is 27% of the market is digital. There's a long way of almost 43%, which still has 73%, which still has to be tapped. We are looking at millions of merchants. Like, there are like a million schools in just four states which are still not accepting online payments or fees online. So there's a huge takeaway. We are still battling 32 lakhs of cash that is there in the market. So going digital, and with this only 8-10 people looking at such a broad-based opportunity to encourage digital payments, I think we are well positioned, well placed with our platform payments and finance business model.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. That's helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Just one first question was on the substantial difference that is existing in the reported PAT in the console and the standalone number. The standalone number is close to 47 crores. The console number is about 40. I just wanted to know, this level of difference didn't exist before. So just wanted to get a sense of what is this.
The expectation should be that it won't be such a large difference. This particular quarter we had a divestment, and as a result there is a slight differential that you will see, but typically you will not see such a large difference going forward.
Okay, so it's basically a function of the divestment and not much else.
That's right, correct.
So how much was the profit that we booked in for due to this divestment?
For the quarter, it was 25 crores.
Yeah. And sir, lastly, the question I had was guidance that we have given. I'm assuming that doesn't include this divestment profit. We are purely talking about operational guidance there in terms of...
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, those are my questions. I'll come back for more. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinod from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. So my question is, what's the expected contribution, you know, from the offline in the next 2-3 years? And what's the current status since launch in July?
Sure. So basically, we launched this in July of 22. And in the last quarter, we have already deployed 15,000 implementations, terminals and merchants. And our expectation is that, you know, by we will get to at least 100,000 terminals by end of FY23. So our expectation, and this is for the India market. So we think that our target for the offline merchant is at least 1 million by end of 24. And so I think, you know, from a current state of 15,000, we will want to reach 1 million merchants by end of 24. That's our, you know, guidance, you know, as far as what we'd like to accomplish in India. The second thing is that, you know, in terms of, you know, the base, we have several million merchants who use us for the online payments. So that becomes a very ripe base to also offer offline solutions and payments to them. And couple that with our licenses of payment aggregation, it becomes, you know, very credible solution for merchants to be able to utilize our solutioning across. So that's, if that answers your question, I think, you know, that's our perspective going forward. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much, sir. And congratulations for the good numbers. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Monami Mana from KR Choksi Shares and Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for sharing a great set of numbers. I have few questions. Like you said that you are now having around 7.3 million of merchants under your belt, and it is growing at a rapid pace. In Q2, you have witnessed around 8,500 per day. So, and you were also saying that Italy, other than domestic market, you were also pouring into the international market, especially UAE, which is a lucrative market. So just wanted to get the sense, I mean, your this net take rate, I mean, how will it differ in the from the domestic market to international market? Whether, I mean, in the international market, the margins, I mean, the BPS basis points are higher? I mean, I'm not asking for the exact number, just to get a sense. Because here there is a, I mean, delicate play on the volume and, against the, I mean, the basis point. So as a company, we have to, I mean, balance it quite well so that our margins also increase, and at the same time, we also don't compromise on the volume. So is it possible from the international market to have a better margin from the domestic arena?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll tell, you know, my perspective, and then Shwam can add in, but international, typically the margins are better in the international markets compared to the domestic markets. It's a general statement. The competitive intensity, of course, is there both in international as well as domestic markets. But, you know, India is far more evolved in digital payments than many of the other markets. So the solutioning that we build out for India has finds a lot of propensity and applications for the international markets. So talking about UAE, UAE is a very interesting market for us, and we've kept on expanding in that market as well. The point is that we are only doing online payments there. You know, now with the offline solutioning that we have with TapPay, we expect to add tens of thousands of merchants in the international market. For example, in UAE, I'm sure you're familiar, but a lot of merchants are offline in UAE. There's a lot of offline selling of products and services in UAE. Online is picked up with Amazon and Noon and many others. But, you know, the intensity and the diaspora there is a huge opportunity for offline payments in UAE. And if we are able to deploy our solutioning with an omni-channel approach in that region, you know, we think that there is a significant opportunity to build upon. So to answer your question, no one that we know of today offers the omni-channel solution for payments in UAE. People offer offline and online, and they're two different solutioning. And so we're experimenting with large merchants. And if we are able to tap into that large merchant base and where the processing volumes are larger, I'm sure that we will find a lot of affinity even in the smaller base. And so today, I think even today, our processing volume is significantly large in UAE, and we expect that that will keep on growing. To give you an example, I think, the net take rate for UAE business will be in the practically, you know, just shy of 10 basis points. So even today it is slightly higher than what India take rate is. But we expect that that will keep on updating and changing as we keep on building up in that region. And, just so that you know, international net take rates are, you know, and if you look at some of the other publicly market, publicly traded companies, you'll find that the take rates are better in some ways. So we would want to go ahead and get there, and we think that we'll keep on scaling up our solutions, getting the cost advantages, in some ways through scale, and be able to offer the savings to our merchants to allow them to grow their business.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for sharing your perspective on this. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Gautam Gosar from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I basically have two questions. Firstly, on your international business, so we recently ventured into Australia and launched the payment business there. So what sort of revenue or margins and growth you are expecting from there? And what are the other countries you are planning to enter this fiscal? And what are your expectations from the overall international business for FY23, if you could? Kyle.
So international UAE is our largest market at the moment. You're right, we've expanded into Australia. We are also into Saudi Arabia, as well as in the US. With this approach of being able to offer payment infrastructure as a service, we are also giving it to Oman. Bank Oman, Bank Dhofar, they are all using our payment infrastructure. So you know that CC Avenue is a brand, and then we also have a payment infrastructure that we open up for banks to be able to give to merchants. So in smaller geographies like Oman, where we don't see an immediate value for us to go as CC Avenue brand, we will provide the entire payment infrastructure to a bank and allow them to acquire merchants and gain from that. So the approach that we have taken is that for certain countries where we don't find merit in going immediately there as a brand and set up offices and set up the infrastructure under CC Avenue brand, we will offer it as a payment infrastructure to such large banks. Just so that you know, 90% of the volume of Oman goes through our payment infrastructure. Okay. We find certain regions in MENA which are attractive for us to go. You know, UAE and Saudi will account for 60% of the volume. But what I talk about is Middle East and Africa. There are some opportunities because those are, there's a lot of opportunity to evolve there. And we think that those will be interesting for us to explore. And, in Southeast Asia as well, we would want to explore some of the countries. If you've taken up Australia, we'd also explore some of the other Southeast Asian countries to be able to build up our payment network. So I think that's pretty much, we haven't, of course, formally announced where else we will go, but, Southeast Asia and Middle East are interesting opportunities for us to explore going forward in terms of countries. And we'll go after larger countries where we see a lot of opportunities to build out our brand and go directly there. And in smaller countries, we'll offer it as a payment infrastructure, much like we have done in Oman. To answer a question about our volumes, I think we think that UAE is, of course, the largest at the moment. And we expect that in the next 2 years, international will contribute to 30% of our revenues.
Okay. 30%.
So that's less than 5% of revenue today, international should contribute to about 25-30% of our revenues. Okay.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that answer. Secondly, though it might be our highest ever quarterly TPVs, but TPVs this quarter again haven't seen a great sequential growth given the industry growth happening in the last couple of quarters. So is the competition picking pace given the payments growth? And what are your expectations in terms of overall GMV growth for FY23?
See, our expectation, and we have communicated, our guidance for this year, where we said that, we would accomplish, transaction processing volume of 4 lakh crores, gross revenue of, and if you go to slide 12, you will have some indication on that. We have given guidance on gross revenue, EBITDA, PAT, as well as transaction processing volume. I think we are sticking to our guidance, and we think that we will of course have more information to talk about as we go through the quarters. Typically, you will know that in the festival quarters, the TPV will expect to continue building up. Because in Q3 is typically when we have the festival quarter. A lot of transactions we think happened in Q2 for festival quarter as well. So you'll see an effect where you will see Q2 to Q3, you won't have a massive growth in Q3 because a lot of festival transactions took place in Q2 as well from our experiences. But yes, the TPV should continue to build up and grow. And we think that, going forward, expect that, with the strong economy and the sectors which we talked about where there's significant amount of traction, especially in the entertainment and hotels and many others, we expect that should continue building up for us. And second is that our growth from an offline payment perspective, we are going after smaller merchants for acceptance. We want that if you go to anywhere in the Northeast as well, that you would be able to pay because of our payment solution, which is CC Avenue TapPay, not only accepts cards, it can accept any kind of payment instrument, including UPI and others, including QR code, through QR code or even LinkPay and many others. So I think that there's a lot of fundamentally, we want that anyone who wants to make any kind of digital payment to any merchant across the country, they should be able to do it and not be limited by point of sale machine. And the thesis comes from the fact that every merchant has a mobile phone, but every merchant does not have a point of sale device. So if you're able to convert the phone into a point of sale device without actually incrementally adding any expense to the merchant whatsoever, it becomes a huge opportunity. So you can talk about crores of kiranas being the audience for potentially using such solutions. And we want to be able to go and deploy it across at least 100,000 implementations by this year and then scale it to 1 million or more next year.
Got it, sir. Thank you for that elaborative answer. So one more question, if I may ask. So your EBITDA margins have declined sequentially. So if you could tell us what will be the incremental cost coming from and what would be the margin range for FY23 we should look at?
So we're sticking to the guidance of what we had given. We expect EBITDA to come between 170 to 190 and a PAT of 110 to 125 crores.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and from your position and from your position.
Your voice is coming muffled. We are unable to hear you clearly.
Any better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted management thought on this TapPay opportunity. Of course, you shared a lot of input in terms of your target touch point or visit Anything you could share in terms of what are the true revenue potential over the next 2 to 3 years?
Sure. So, you know, in terms of our expectation, we think that a good 25% odd should come from offline payments. That is typically CC Avenue TapPay in the next 2 years. And so as we scale up our business, when we talked about our merchant base that we'd like to reach 1 million merchants next year, we think that in the next 2 years of the total processing, 30%, 25% minimum should come out of the CC Avenue TapPay, which is the physical part of the physical payments. And very likely there will be an overlap of merchants who use us both for online and offline both. But there is a massive opportunity in India to be able to go after merchants who don't accept payments, digital payments. You know, UPI has created one revolution, but you know, unfortunately, those rails don't work with cards. And so if you have a single solution, and with the growth of 5G, which is expected also in the next 2-3 years, that, you know, these kinds of solutions will potentially mean that practically every merchant, I mean, obviously now today, majority of the merchants have smartphones. So to download the app and starting to use it becomes very interesting. We have a total transaction processing volume guidance of 100 billion by FY24. So, and you can imagine that we expect that about 25% of that should come from CC Avenue TapPay. Does that answer your question? Hello.
Mr. Rahulchan, if you are muted.
Sorry. So I was saying that why you think this TapPay could be far more revolutionary given the fact that UPI has already significantly reached both in terms of consumer acceptance, merchant acceptance, and also in terms of, you know, ease of doing thing and lower cost of transaction.
Okay, let me take this, Vishaka. Okay, so if you know UPI, UBI is a debit mechanism. Today, UPI is cannibalizing bank transfer, check payments, NEFT, RTGS, and other things. So any kind of a direct debit account, if you have a balance in your account, so UPI is a debit mechanism that is there, right? And that is constrained to only people who have gone onto the UPI platform. Credit is a big market. Credit card spends, if you have seen, is more than 1,10,000 crores a month, and it's growing very, very fast. The RBI numbers say that, right? So it does not do credit. It does not do even a debit card. So there are like more than 500 million rupee debit cards in the market. So if a person goes and wants to pay through his rupee debit card, the payment cannot be accepted. If you want to pay through his Master, Visa, any other credit card, it does. So what this technology brings in is that today, with a clunky $100 point of sale terminal, you know, $150 terminals, it's very difficult to deploy in tier 3, tier 4 cities and in small merchants where, you know, like say a food cart in a village outside Guwahati in Assam, right? So if you have to give him $150, 10,000 rupees terminal, then there are battery problems, training that merchant, and then you have to keep sending him printer rolls to press the charge clip and other things. Right, so it becomes, that's why the acceptance base is not there today, right? Even if a tuition teacher wants to accept payments through this, then they write a check or a draft or do all those stuff. So what it helps is that if any kind of payments you want to do, this is a very simple one. You just go to the Play Store, download the CC Avenue app, and on your own phone, you start accepting payments. You just tap the card at the back of this thing. So ours is India's first pin on glass certified solution, where even for higher amounts of more than 5,000, the payments can be taken, even if it depends on the credit limit of the card. So this kind of a transformation technology, which can be, you know, marketed online and gone to any merchant anywhere in the country, just download and start accepting payments through credit card, debit cards, net banking, wallets, cash card, and UPI, plus UPI QR code with payment links and all that stuff. So it's a very transformational technology with the kind of expenses versus a $150 terminal versus a zero cost terminal is huge. And every merchant has a phone, a smartphone, or anything above 5,000 rupees, it works. So, so that's why it's a very transformational technology which will change how payments are accepted in the next 3 or 4 years in India. That's why we are very bullish, and we think that whatever the acceptance base, anybody can just do an online signing and start accepting payments through any kind of payment options. There are 200 plus payment options, and not just a UPI card debit to a bank account, but even a credit cards or a lot of other functionalities also, transaction entering like payment links and dynamic QR and all that stuff.
Right, right. Thanks for the color on that. Just one more question. When you said that the capex intensity of the business is behind us, what I wanted to understand, when you want to roll out so many merchants, and of course, although the technology-wise it is very transformative, for us to make people habitual and also in terms of reaching out to a very, very large audience, merchant base, which we want to, don't you think there would be a significant investment that would go to make it happen, or you are seeing this that as a more of an OPEX than CAPEX, and that's why you're saying it differently?
Yeah, you're right. It's more of an OPEX that we believe will be there. We are also going to, in India, we've realized that channels will work. And so we'll tap into some large channels, channels that work with a lot of kiranas, channels that have, you know, potential to be able to reach out to the masses. So we'll have a combination of a direct and indirect approach. Indirect meaning going directly to the merchants, but indirect meaning going through channels to be able to offer solutioning. And so a combination of that will happen. It will involve some amount of capex, but not a whole lot. I think majority of it should be an operating expense.
Also, we have already an existing huge ecosystem of merchants already live on our platforms and payments this time. So those are the early adopters, and it's like a 22 years of merchant base that works with us. As we already announced that we are onboarding more than 8,000 merchants every day. So those are the, some, most of the merchants will also be going in for this tap business from my existing ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the early adopters are, still the real challenge comes, to scale beyond a point, but understand your context, and those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Anil Nahata, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. My question to Vishwas is, the first question is that the India payment TPV, I mean, while the NTR has got a very smart improvement to 7.2, but the growth on the TPV is somewhat subdued at like a year-on-year growth of 18%. I believe the debit card plus credit card growth is also subdued, but it is still at the range of 30% year-on-year. So what is the reason for this rather subdued growth in the TPV volumes?
Hello. Yes, So what we see is that there is already a good growth, 30% year-on-year growth, and 50% is year-on-year growth, right? And from what we had last year, same quarter, and I think it's growing very fast. And as I said that, as we go into the holiday season, it will go even faster. So yes, I think we can still work harder and accelerate the pace. But yes, but it's growing fantastically. I think we are, if you see the last 3 years, the TPV, we are doubling year on year almost. And we have already given guidance of $100 billion by 2024, the processing volume. So those things are keep growing. And I think that's the normal pace that it will keep growing. Of course, we'll try our best with our new technology and innovations and the StabPay and others to even accelerate it further. But I think it's seeing significantly good growth.
Okay. So you don't think there is something like that as a market share kind of shift that is happening? I mean, in the end of last year, we were talking about an increase of market share from 8% to around 10% in the payments area. Are we on track to get that increase in the market share?
It has increased. If you see the overall TP with the numbers released by the scheme, our market share has gone up, and as the other competitors also now looking at profitability with now the mindset also changing from earlier all those predatory pricing and cashbacks and other things. So now even those guys are completely coming and thinking of profitability. I think the share and everything will increase further.
Okay. So that is the first part. The second question is this tap on pay. You mentioned that 15,000 terminals have been done. But I don't think these have been done with the omni-channel app that you are having. So when is tap pay going to be available on the omni-channel app?
It is available on the omni-channel app, but we are doing phase-wise because all these merchants, there is a complete new diligence and what do you call integration and MID creation required because this kind of acquiring is called merchant present scenario, customer present scenario. So there's a huge demand from lots of our merchants and existing and other things. But we are doing strategically going step by step right now. So we have opened it up only for around 15,000-20,000 merchants. And I think we've got a very healthy, higher double-digit acceptance for whomever we did it. And slowly and steadily, I think by the end of Q4, we should open up for everybody.
Basically, at the end of Q4, I should be able to just download the app and basically log in, do my KYC kind of thing, and be able to go live. Is that it?
Yes, that we are already able to, but we are allowing only a certain as an app to see all your existing web and your app transactions. You can already do that. But the enablement of TapPay, we are doing it strategically because it's a whole new process of MID generation and other things for a customer present scenario. So that we are working overnight with the banks, and because of the overwhelming response, we're still in a phase of almost like last 35-40 days. We have enabled 15,000 odd merchants, and I think around 100,000 will do it by end of this quarter.
So that's absolutely great news. And just one more further question on this TapPay. The solution that we have today, I think by and large it is like you can take it to any market. Is there a regulatory thing that drives it to take it to the other market, or is it just your business plans?
So yes, it's a global certification from the Master Visa card companies, and that's what we are launching in UAE also. But each market with a new acquiring bank, we need to do a level 3 delta. It's a slight delta recertification in that market so that you know, it's cross-border acquiring is not allowed for merchants. So sitting here, I can't acquire merchants in UAE. I need to do it through my local entity. So slight little certification is there and step-by-step process. Hence, we are very careful in the markets that we are selecting. So as you said, UAE is the next market for TapPay launch, and then Saudi, and then Australia, and of course, US also will work simultaneously together.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. And just if I may ask one more question. On this 15,000 kind of terminals that we are having right now, would it be possible for you to give a rough kind of TPV we are doing on a monthly basis or something like that?
I think too early to disclose right now because these are just going on in the last 30-35 days. These are all activations going on and other things. Too early to disclose, but I think the coming quarter will start giving it out right now.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kacholia from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon to the team and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is basically, can you talk a little bit about the recent announcement that you made regarding some payment gateway? I couldn't understand the importance of that. Could you just talk a little bit about that?
You're talking about the payment aggregator license? Huh?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. What is the significance of that?
Okay, the significance, look, there are three coveted licenses that we need from RBI. One is the Bharat Bill Pay. Second was the aggregator. Aggregator license in the sense that earlier anybody can just start work with a bank and launch a payment system in India. So today it becomes with this license, there are a lot of restrictions, positive net worth and a lot of other things that are put in by RBI to get this license. So what happens is that nobody can come in the country, either a new startup or an international guy, and just launch a payment gateway in the country. So it's like a moat, but it also gives a lot of confidence to the people, and it's given to only experienced guys who have done this business with a positive net worth and other things. So what it helps is that any kind of a payment infrastructure or a payment gateway business we can do in the country, where the money can be settled into our account of all the merchants, and then we can do the payment. That means we can handle the money. So for doing any kind of payment business, this license is required. Otherwise, other players will have to work with licensed players like us if they want to do payment business. So right now what we understand is that only 8 or 10 licenses given.
8 or 10, these are the existing major payment gateway operators today who have been given this license?
Yes.
Okay, so as of now, there won't be any major shift of market share. I'm assuming that the 100% of the payment gateway market would be...
A lot of smaller ones will be closing down, na? Because a lot of smaller ones, the payment gateways who are there, might have to start, stop or move merchants to this. Like, say, MobiQuick license is rejected, right? Or
okay.
Many other PGs are rejected. So
okay.
What happens is that those merchants who are already there, like Uber was there on MobiQuick ZPay, payment gateway.
Huh.
And many are there. So there will be a radical shift. And going forward also, it gives us a lot of certainty. It gives us a lot of seat on the table with RBI and gives us a lot of power to work with different banks. And it's a very coveted license to do payment business in the country.
How much, what is the market share of the players whose payment gateway license has been rejected?
We don't know, because those final, as we said earlier, those licenses and other things are not announced till yet, formally by RBI. So we don't know how many apply, but from the market sources, those who got a license have been tom-tomming and saying it out that we've got it. And what we've done the whole math is the only 8 or 9 guys who have said that they have got the license. And we know for a fact 150 odd had applied.
So 8 or 9 guys would control what percentage of the payment gateway market then? The guys who have got the license.
Yeah, so almost they are the ones who will be powering all the payments, right? Because
no, existing market share, I'm saying.
Existing market share, if you're looking at 100%, so all will be divided into different parts, right? Depending on how we do it. So different kind of numbers come out, so there is no authentic source, because how much they process some of the younger startups, even the payouts that they do, the numbers are counted, right? So even if they are like, they give a payout service, so they call that as a processing. We don't call all that stuff. So real payment collection through e-commerce is counted. So those are the things that are there. But overall, what we judge is, I think we have reached a double-digit market share, 10% plus of the overall.
Okay, so my question is like this, you have announced, right? So you have, say, 10-12% market share in your estimate. Okay. I'm just trying to get some sense.
Yes.
And the other 7-8 players also who have announced that we have been given a RBI payment gateway license.
Yes.
So these 8-9 players put together, would you guys be controlling 40-60% of the market, or you would be controlling 80 or 90% of the market already?
Look, we all work with the banks. If you're not counting the banks, then we all control around 100% of the market.
These 8-9 players who have given the licenses.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So now the market share will switch between these players, is it?
Should be. Let's see when the formal announcement of RBI comes in, who comes in, who comes not, and who is going away. So lot of things will happen going forward. Let's see how it evolves once the announcement comes.
Okay, got it. All right, boss. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Right. As I said, this is the second of the third licenses. We applied for 3 licenses. So BBP, Bharat Bill Pay, and this payment aggregator license is in place. Last is the NUE part. So NUE, we are keenly awaiting from RBI.
So NUE, what has been our thing? We have submitted our application. What is the contours of the license application that we have made out there? Can you share a little bit on that?
Okay, that's the network license, like a NPCI kind of a work that we can do. We can have our own brand of MasterCard, Visa, this thing. And let's see, it's too premature, but it's a network license, like a Master Visa, which can go global. We can have our own kind of a thing called UPI that we can launch in our brand, our own kind of a card scheme like a Master Visa, RuPay. And this is the consortium of four players that we have announced earlier, that we have applied for.
Got it. Okay. All right, boss. Thank you and very much. Wish you all the best. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayushi Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a promising set of numbers. Sir, I have two questions. One, continuing from the question that Mr. Daniel Nahada asked right before me. So one is on TapPay and the second is on ONDC. I'd like to take my first question on TapPay. Sir, your press release states that we have deployed around 15,000 TapPay terminals, but considering that we only have like 1,000 downloads of the TapPay app on the Google Play Store, does this mean we are like tied up with a big retail merchant, or is it divided across certain merchants? And continuing with that, are these terminals the same as the CC Avenue NFC card readers? And are there any updates about the patents that we had filed for consumers to tap their own phone with their card to make online payments?
Okay, so now the TapPay certain places, we have given our SDK, not necessarily through our CC Avenue app. The SDK, like one example I can give you quickly is the Chalo app that is there in India. So if you're going for a BEST bus ticket and other things, so an SDK has been given that is integrated into the Chalo app, where when you're buying the ticket, when you enter the BEST bus in Mumbai, you just tap there. That is our solution. So all our this kind of SDK implementation, certain I can't say because of confidence and certain integrations that are going on with prime merchants, but these are the kinds of integrations we have done.
All right, and so with respect to that, like what kind of income profit are we expecting? Like what kind of margin number you would think that we'll probably achieve
Yeah, we already given guidance on the entire thing, the processing volume of around $100 billion. The gross and registered revenue has already been given. So it's on slide 12 of the listing, right, of our presentation. So we can go by that forward looking guidance.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And no guidance about the take rates from the same?
Right now, no. I think it's too early. I think next quarters you will get those distinctive numbers.
All right. And so my second question was on ONDC. Sir, it's very interesting that we've forayed into this field right now. So, sir, I wanted to understand, like, what is the business model, for ONDC, and, like, will payments in this segment be a percentage-based thing or a fee-based model? And, like, what kind of revenues do we expect from this segment going down the line? And, sir, like, what percentage of our already strong 7.3 million merchant base do you think that, we'll be able to employ for this ONDC venture, and are we looking at other venues as well?
See, basically, I take this. ONDC is a framework, and it is evolving. The pilot happened in Bangalore, and there's a lot of encouragement for merchants to be able to start selling products and for buyers to be able to start offering these products on their own portal. And so ONDC is basically you'll have a buyer app and a seller app. And, you essentially enable sellers to be able to control their inventory, products and orders using that app. And think of ONDC as, basically a framework that enables catalog and products to be pushed in and orders to be pushed out. Standalone, we can also join in as a payment gateway to be able to offer to merchants. And we can also offer software frameworks and applications for existing merchants to be able to push their inventory into ONDC with a set of APIs. So there is a backend protocol which has been set up. And that backend protocol will enable you to integrate with ONDC, which is public information. So the whole idea is that, given that we have a very large merchant base and a potential, we would like to offer them an opportunity with a single click to be able to join ONDC, which is the understanding that we've communicated in the call today. If you look at the number of seller apps, there are 5 or 8 or 10 seller apps that have you know, been integrated with ONDC. And in terms of buyer apps, there are not many today. But the expectation is that the number of seller apps and buyer apps will grow tremendously once the framework is established and scaled up. And that is where we will offer all our merchants to be able to enable them at a single click to join ONDC as and when you know, the evolution happens. And I think it's happening on a daily basis, by the way. So we see an opportunity for us to offer the same solution to merchants where payments will be integrated as part of it.
Right. And so just that was a very comprehensive answer, sir, but I didn't receive an answer for my question about the update about the patent we had filed. Like, what's the situation with that?
Sorry, I didn't catch that. What is update on the?
The patent. So you had mentioned in our last earnings call that we had filed for the patent where basically consumers could tag their own phone and with their card to make online payments.
Yeah, Vishwas, you want to talk about the patent on the tap pay solution?
Yes, I think what we are doing is a unique one in the sense that this tap on glass with pin on glass where we can do any kind of amounts, and there are certain new functionalities that we have worked which is not there anywhere in the world. So we applied for patent. I think the patent application was filed. I don't have the current status right now. I think the patent application is filed, and let's see once we get it. But it's something unique that we have done within the ecosystem of Tap and Pay on phone.
All right. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining the call, and we look forward to you know, interacting with you during the next earnings call. Thanks you know, for being part of this call.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.